Well, good afternoon, brethren. I promise you two things. That I'm not going to speak very long, number one. Number two, I will not put you to sleep. Years ago, in the early part of the church, some of you remember, we had services, and some of those services were long. Mr. Waterhouse, those of you that remember Mr. Waterhouse, when he came through, you could just settle back for 2.5, maybe 3 hours. But we didn't get tired because the messages were good and the messages were strong, and we learned a lot. I do know one thing that's happening today. I don't know if you thought about it or not, but, you know, Satan is very angry. He doesn't like God's holy days because it exposes him to what he is and what he will become after Christ returns. The Bible speaks of a time before Christ returns when the earth will be engulfed in war, famine, disease, epidemics, earthquakes, and other colossal diseases. This era of time is called the Great Tribulation, a time that will bring humanity to the brink of total destruction, necessitating God's promised intervention in human affairs. This period of God's intervention is called the Day of the Lord. It is also a time known as blowing of the trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets depicts the return of Jesus Christ, as we heard this morning in the messages. And Christ will return to this earth to establish the kingdom of God. So the title of the sermon today is God's Promises Are Sure. And I think we all can attest to that. Please turn to Acts chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 19 from the King James Version. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So, brethren, what excites us today, the inspiring hope filled with events we have to anticipate when Christ returns and sets up his government on earth. This may not be true for most of us, but, you know, we sometimes let the world's tragic events get us down. We look at all these negative news, which we can't do anything about that, but it makes us sad. And at other times, we can let our own personal family problems depress us. And we cry out. We cry out to God. How long, O Lord? And what about God? Sometimes we may think that God does not hear us, but God wants us to develop the patience. As we saw in verse 21 of Acts chapter 3, where he said he has spoken by the mouth of the prophets since the world began. So God wants us during periods of times to develop patience. Psalm 98. Please turn to Psalm 98. We will read verses 65 and 66 of Psalm 98. And it reads, "Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine." 66. And he beat back his enemies and put them to a perpetual reproach. So in these verses, the psalmist pictures God as being asleep and unaware of the things that are going on around him. But God is certainly much aware of everything. Isaiah. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 42. We will read verses 13 through 15. Isaiah 42, verse 13. "Then the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, about aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies." Verse 14. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. Verse 15, "I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all vegetation. I will make all rivers coastlands, and I will dry up the pools." So God's fulfillment, brethren, of trumpets are not hidden. The holy days are prophecies. They are also called a shadow of things to come. Colossians. Please turn to Colossians chapter 2. Read verse 16 and 17 of Colossians chapter 2. "So let no one judge you in food or drink, or in regarding the festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance of things to come." Brethren, if God promises something, it will come to pass. There is no questions about it. This festival, the Feast of Trumpets, pictures a day of hope. This kind of hope is seen. It's what we need to stir us up. This kind of hope is what God's people need to keep motivated in our Christian life. This hope, brethren, is found in God the Father and Son, Jesus Christ. The promise of salvation, promise of eternal life in the kingdom of God. This hope can be found in the Word of God, His grace, His love, that is steadfast and unmovable. The hope of the resurrection of the dead and sharing the glory of God. Our hope is motivated by these aspects of eternal hope. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Begin reading in verse 3. I will read from the NIV. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and unto an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith a shield by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6. And this greatly rejoice. Now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes through refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So the Feast of Trumpets gives reference also to the trumpets that will be used when Christ returns to this earth. God will put an end to the wars and suffering of mankind under Satan's rule, and he will establish the kingdom of God. Satan has been ruling the earth, as you know, from the time of Adam and Eve. Trumpets pictures the time when Christ will replace Satan. Trumpets is a day of rejoicing, a day of great happiness, because it will be a time of world peace and happiness for everyone. At Christ's return, those who were called and chosen by God, both living and dead, will be resurrected and given eternal life. This is the first resurrection. It will be the ending of this present evil age for mankind, and the beginning when Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Since this holy day is known as the Feast of Trumpets, we may ask the question, what does blowing of the trumpets have to do with God's holy day feast? Well, the Feast of Trumpets is a very special feast in many ways. It is a pivotal day. This feast symbolizes a vast turning point in world history. It pictures the pivotal changeover between the age of man of darkness and of Satan to the age of God, the world tomorrow, the millennium, and the kingdom of God. Many scriptures tell us why trumpets are used at the return of Jesus Christ. Let's notice this, Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, begin reading in verse 29 from the King James Version. Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 52. It reads, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So God has promised us this, and brethren, this is exactly what will happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Please turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we will read verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So this is the hope, brethren, that we can certainly look forward to. Let's notice one other scripture in Revelation chapter 15. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. We will read verse 15. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So this is our hope. And we know it's a sure thing that we will be reigning with Jesus Christ throughout eternity. So the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Each one of those seven angels had a trumpet that sounded off bringing a message. These trumpets, brethren, leaves a strong message for us today. And we heard some comments on this in the morning sermon. Let's dig a little deeper into the meaning of these trumpets and see why this holy day is so important for us. I want to give you three reasons that relate to these trumpets. The first, why do we call this day the Feast of Trumpets? First of all, the first answer to that is because God said so. Very plain. Number two, because these trumpets send a message to those living in the end time and to those who will be resurrected at Christ's return. Leviticus chapter 23. Please turn there. I'll read that from the NIV. Leviticus chapter 23. The Lord said to Moses, verse 24, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly, commemorated with trumpet blast. 25, verse 25, do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord by fire. So God commands us to keep this day each year so that we can remember his promises for all mankind through the blowing of the trumpet. Reason number two. When we read through the scriptures, what do trumpets symbolize? Well, the answer to that, brethren, along with others, answers, but the main answer is these trumpets send a warning to all mankind. I was looking at the Beyond Today broadcast this morning, Mr. Darris McNeely was going through the Ten Commandments. I had never thought about this before, but we're able to see how the Ten Commandments is connected with the Feast of Trumpets. And how is this? Because the Ten Commandments sends a message. The trumpets sends a message. We had these messages from God, His commandments. They were located in public buildings, some in the courthouse houses. But we find that the public did not want this. They didn't want God to tell them that they need to keep the commandments. They didn't want anybody to tell them that they should not commit adultery and all the other things that the commandments sends. It's a trumpet. They had the trumpet in the courthouse, but they didn't want that. The trumpet was out in other places, public places. But society does not want to be told what to do. And that is influenced, brethren, by Satan. So, the commands of this holy day promises that these trumpets is sending us a message through their sound. When we read through the scriptures and see these things, it brings to mind what is happening in our society. The book of Joel, Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. Said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill, that all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is close at hand. Verse 2, a day of darkness across the mountains, a large army such as never was of old, nor even ever will be in ages to come. So here we have a message from trumpets. Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 3. Please turn there. We will read verse 6 and 7. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble. When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Verse 7. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58. New King James Version, translation, Isaiah 58, verse 1, cry, Lord, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins, those that shepherds God's flocks, God's people. This message is for them as well. That cry, brethren, goes out today. It goes out daily. All the booklets, the broadcast that the church and beyond today goes out. The trumpet is blowing. But who will listen and who will be obedient to the sound of the trumpet? The trumpets are giving us warning. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. We'll begin reading in verse 1 from the King James. Verse 1 of Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring this sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, and he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then, verse 4, whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and take him away, his blood shall be on his own head. So when we don't listen, brethren, we don't take heed to what we are being instructed. The ministry is not helped. They cry out. We should listen. We should obey. In verse 5 of Ezekiel chapter 33 says, He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be on himself. But he who takes warning shall save his life. So it's important. It's important that we listen. And it's important that we be obedient to the instructions that are given. And where do we get these instructions, brethren? We get these instructions from God's holy days. We get these instructions from the attendance, the regular attendance of the Sabbath. God said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Meaning that we also have the instructions to fail not to assemble ourselves. Why are we assembling? To get instructions. It's very important that we listen to and get the instructions that are being given. Now in verse 6 of Ezekiel chapter 33, But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will be required at the watchman's hand. Verse 7, So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman from the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. And you may say, well, I haven't been called to pastor no church. I'm not a minister. Yes, you are. You are by the way, your example that you live. You are blowing the trumpet then, brethren. I just want you to think about that. So we see, brethren, that the trumpets symbolize a loud cry of impending danger, a warning of those who are living in the end time. The day of the Lord is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess. We are also to be responsible for our brethren. Each one of us are responsible, believe me, for each other. God commands us to love one another. to see after one another, to nurture one another. This is what the scripture said, brother. The trumpet is blowing today. So we see these things, brethren. We find these trumpets. We find these instructions through sermons and sermonettes, Beyond the Day programs and television booklets. This is mailed out to thousands and thousands of people from the home office. These trumpet warnings go out to the world, but they are intended for God's people as well. God's promises are sure. 2 Peter chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. In verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for the hastening and the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Verse 14, therefore, beloved brethren, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Down to verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. And here we have a warning, a deep warning in verse 18. But grow in grace and knowledge in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now in Revelation chapter 10, let's turn there. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, what is this mystery that John is talking about? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we will begin reading in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corrupt inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, O grave, where is your victory? The great mystery is that we can and we will become immortal, incorruptible spirit beings at Christ's return. For the last scripture, please turn to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So this alone, brethren, should cause us to rejoice on this day of trumpets. The resurrection at Christ's second coming is only the beginning of Christ's reign on the earth. In the proper time and order, all who have ever lived will be given the opportunity to repent and to enter God's kingdom as sons and daughters. So we know that this feast pictures the return of Jesus Christ. It pictures the hope of all mankind. It pictures Christ's return to set up the government and kingdom of God. Many asked, will Christ's second coming take place on the Feast of Trumpets? The answer is, we don't know. The Bible verses specifically and unequivocally states that this will be the case. We don't know. But the good news is, one thing that we do know, that God, Jesus Christ, first, and the Father will come later, will return. We know that. This is God's promise. And we know that it will come to pass. So in the meantime, brethren, we need to be busy, repenting, overcoming, and praying for this day to come very soon.